getting ready to go live with us now, so.
Okay.
And there's the finger point. So I know tonight that we are now on. We will start off with our prayer requests tonight. Continue praying for Sister Donna Faye and Brother Charlie. Sister Donna Faye does have more chemo coming, as she just shared with me, for the next 2 months. So ask that you would remember that in your prayers. Also, continue to pray for Barbara Taylor and Evan and Sister Rose, Caden, Brother Bill and Sister Joanne Bynum, Sister Virginia and Sister Laura, Pedro Castro, Serena Garrett, that's Sister Joanne's great-granddaughter, Lonnie London, Bill McAfee, Larry Crawford, Ann Grimes, Patty Taylor, Darren and Jason, Sister Kay, Brother George Lynn, Maxine Wells, and Sister Mary Real, our shut-in, Sister Frankie, Sister Mary Jane, Sister Faye, Sister Tawana, and Sister Ruby and Brother Junior. Also, revival at the Concord Church tonight, tomorrow night. It started the other evening, but tonight and tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. So do remember to pray for that. And then ask in prayer for just folks that we run into that we may not always think about doing it, but we did have a prayer request one day to remember all the ladies down at the Gateway facility there, to remember them, and then to lift them up in prayer. So we ask that you would remember those folks in your prayers as well. Remember to pray for the lost. God knows each and every one of us who's lost or saved. We need to pray for those that are lost, and we need to pray for those that are backslidden, and ask God to give another opportunity. And we're going to look at this in just a minute tonight. I originally thought we would be in the book of Psalms, but I'm actually going to be in the first two chapters of the book of Romans. So you can be turning there, and we'll be going to the Lord in prayer. And don't forget, if you want to email us, send us a prayer request, I'll reach out to us some way, somehow. You feel free to. And we will mention those things in prayer. Or if you just ask us to pray about them and not say anything, we will do that as well. So, Father, tonight we thank you, Lord, for your love and mercy. We thank you, dear God, for your many blessings. And, Lord, just thank you for the day. Father, the safety of it that you've provided, dear God, and the grace that we've lived in, Lord. Father, I ask you tonight that you would just touch each heart, each soul, each life, Father, in the way that you would have it to be done, Lord, and we pray, Father, we'll accept that. Lord, we ask you tonight that you just be with those that are on our prayer request list, dear God. Father, help them, Lord, we pray. Father, we ask you that you would just touch those that are lost, dear God, convict their hearts again, Lord, and those that are backslidden, Father, the same. Lord, I pray, Father, that those that are saved and following you, dear Lord, will have a desire to continue to do so and to grow closer, dear God. Father, we know that in the time that we're living, Lord, the thing that we need, Father, most of all, is your strength and your guidance in our lives, Lord. There's no greater need that we have than to have that, Lord Jesus, we know. And so we ask you tonight, Father, help us to do your will. Help us to praise, worship, and honor your name. And we'll give you glory, Father. We'll thank you, Father, in Jesus' holy name. And amen. Amen. As I was saying, I was going to be in the book of Romans, or in the book of Psalms, but chose the book of Romans. I have my KJV Bible stuff pulled up here, but as of right now, I don't know of any scripture that I was going to use. And so wanted to have it here just in case I thought of something that I wanted to look up. But if you would go to the book of Romans, and We use this chapter most of all when we read this part of this book. It's most often used for the description of Paul when he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Verse 16. And verse 17 says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith." And I'm going to say tonight, you know, that we as Christians need to make sure that we are living by faith. The world around us is, in my opinion, in great turmoil. There's absolutely more need out there than we can fathom, but not more than God can handle. And we know that. And so because we know that God knows what needs to be done, we put our faith and our trust in Him. The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. We've got to learn how to do that better. I honestly believe with all of my heart, learning how to do that better will help us in every aspect of our lives. Because there's so many things that we see that distract us. There's so many things that we see that concern us. And sometimes that actually may dampen our hearts or our spirits and stop us from fully seeing what God is doing in our lives or around us even. I was thinking just the other day, something happened at work, and got home, shared it with Annetta, and then she shared with me. And it's amazing how that sometimes we just don't understand how fully God is working. So, we've really got to keep ourselves focused on the Lord, walk by faith, not by sight. And we will have, in my opinion, a better life in that regards, because we will be more about trusting God than we will be concerned about things that are going on. And it's not to say that we stick our head in the sand and we don't notice anything, but let's remember that God knows and God's in control. There's nothing out of His control. There's nothing out of His sight. And furthermore, there's nothing out of His concern. God is absolutely concerned with all of this as well. But I want to start reading in verse 18 tonight. And we'll read down through the end of this chapter, and then we'll pick up in chapter 2. Was sharing with a co-worker the other day, and I can tell you right now, he's hungry. And I understand that, because just through the talk of him, he's hungry. He wants to know and wants to learn, and just admitted that he needed to study the Word of God more. And I'm going to tell you, every one of us need to study the Word of God more. There's not a person, I think, who's got more than enough Word of God in their lives. It even if we've been in it, if we've read it from beginning to end, if we've read, you know, we read it every day, we can still use more in our lives to help us get through the life that is now, and that which is ahead of us if God tarries. And the truth is, the conversation that we had started off with the fact that, wow, can't believe we're still here. And I know that at one point, me and Lynetta, several years back, we were in a Walmart, Rogers Walmart, and I can't remember what was going on then, but we honest and truly, we just couldn't see how God was going to take much more in how much longer we could go in this life. And we didn't think we would make it through the end of that year. But that's something that I was sharing with him, you know, here. And we'll read it here in just a minute. But see, God sees what we don't see. God understands what we don't understand. And the things that concern us, I'm not going to say God is not concerned about, but rather God knows and God's in control of. And so there's going to come a point in time, and we all know this, that God is going to be done tolerating what is being going on, and He's going to move to bring things to an end. My hope and my prayer is that when that happens, that every soul would be saved who's alive on planet Earth. The problem is we know the Bible says that straight is the way and narrow is the gate that leadeth unto life eternal, and few there be there that find it or enter therein. Broad is the way, broad is the gate that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in there. And so we know more will miss heaven than will gain heaven. And that's so sad, because it doesn't have to be that way. And so we'll look at that before I get too far into this tonight. He said, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold truth in unrighteousness." And the sad part is today that's they hold truth in unrighteousness. They think unrighteous things are truth, and that they're more desirable than the things of God. They're more, appealing in their eyes. The sad part of that is, as God said, that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. God is not going to wink at this. And so when we look at society today and we see what's going on today, I've said many times, it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual warfare that's going on today. And we must rise as Christians to the occasion and stand for what is right, be firm on our faith and our belief in God, and also not be afraid to share it and proclaim it. I'm not talking about in-your-face type stuff, but let's just be honest. When somebody says, "Boy, I just don't know why you work so hard," or "I don't know why you try so hard," "I don't know why you do," just say, "Because I want to be pleasing to God." There's no wrong in that. I mean, after all, is it any different if you say you're wanting to be pleasing to the Lord as versus them saying, "Well, I want to make more money"? In my opinion, there's no difference there. But we're afraid to say stuff about wanting to please God and wanting to stand for God, wanting to do what's right for God. And so we need to not be afraid to just give God glory and tell folks we hold ourselves accountable to God. I don't hold truth in unrighteousness. Rather, I hold the truth in righteousness, which is in Christ Jesus. He said in verse 19, "Because that they may know, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." When we stand before God, there's not going to be an excuse. I was thinking about this. I don't remember if it was last night or this morning. Man always tries to take glory, credit for doing stuff and get glory for taking something and making something else. Well, God took nothing and made something. Only God can do that. And so when we think about it this way, God revealed Himself clearly to each and every one of us. I don't know where you're at in watching this, but if you're around in our area, yesterday it snowed. Crazy. But it snowed, and it snowed hard. It was pretty to look at. It wasn't very pretty to work in. But it's snowing. And honest to goodness, I can't tell you the last time I remember it snowing in April. But it snowed, and it snowed hard. And had it started off cold, we would have had an inch or two of snow on the ground, I believe. That's how hard it was snowing at times. And still some laying around this morning. That's God, though. See, God shows us He's in control. I'm not saying climate doesn't change, because time does change. And if you study it out, it seems like there's a 50-year cycle. Is it cooler or to warmer, and then it starts going back the other way? And I mean, you just stop to think about this morning. I pray that we don't have a killing freeze, that folks were able to protect their plants and things like that that needed to be. But woke up this morning, 24 degrees, 25 degrees outside. That's cold, especially in April. And so, we know that God shows himself in this. Only God can do the things that are done. People want to call it climate change instead of God control. I call it God control. He says, because that which was known, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They knew God, glorified him not as God, and then their hearts were darkened. They professed themselves to be wise, and yet the Bible says they became fools. It's a sad case when man thinks he is smarter and wiser than God, or even thinks that he is God, or thinks there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's a fool, the Bible says. That's not me saying it. That's the Word of God saying it. And so, you know what? There are people who say there is no God. One day they're going to stand before a glorious God, but they're going to give an account of their lives and what a mess it's going to be for them to have to stand before God, whom they denied, and then hear and see that he's real, and then also that there's a literal hell that they'll be going to because of that. It's a scary thing, though, to think about today. Even in some churches, they don't believe in a literal hell. How can you believe in a literal heaven without a literal hell? There's an opposite of the heaven, and we know this, and we teach this, and we try to instruct people to understand it. I am not smarter than God in any way, shape, or form. Matter of fact, the old saying is, I'm as dumb as a box of rocks, right? In comparison to God, absolutely. But having the insight to know that I need God, listening to the voice of God, through the Holy Ghost as He convicts my heart, as He tells me what to do and how to do things, I just can't praise Him enough for being there for me. No matter how much I've failed Him, He's never failed me. God has always been there. When I was in the wrong, He was there calling my name to pull me out. Talking, folks praying for me. We don't realize how God has really worked in our lives until we accept God. And then at that point in time, when we've accepted God, we've accepted Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior, being born again, the Bible says, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, which is Christ Jesus. That's when we stop and we look back and we are truly amazed at how we lived such a foolish life and such a foolish lifestyle until that day. And then we look at it and we go, I can't believe, I'm still doing this or doing that. Look at how gracious God is to me. And so we thank Him for that. But here's what's going on today. We're getting down to some of the meat of things. And it says, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image of made like unto corruptible man, into birds, into four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through their lust, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Can you imagine that? Changing the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. But they have. They've tried to make it set up to where that the response, they're only responsible to themselves or to others who think the same way as they think. This lost and dying world is collectively getting together to figure out how much they can get away with, physically speaking, because they no longer think that there's any spiritual repercussions for what they're doing. There's no longer a fear of God. There's no longer a respect of God. We think about our own church and what happens in our church parking lot and the things that people do, the trash we've had to pick up. And I just can't believe it. people park there, and it's just terrible what goes on, and I won't get into it, but let's just say this: they make out in our lot, and they have no business being there in the first place. And if you're going to go to a church parking lot, go to church. Go inside the house of God. Seek God and do that. But they just disrespect the house of God. They disrespect the property of God because they disrespect God. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't care if you do go to church every Sunday. If you go to church and you're spitting your stuff out on the concrete and the asphalt and stomping your cigarettes and leaving them out there and stuff like that, even though you're going into the church or you're letting your water bottles and stuff fall out on the ground and you don't care, then you're disrespecting God's property. You're disrespecting God's house. And most likely you have a disrespect of God in your heart too in some aspects because you're not concerned with what you're doing in that aspect. And I would challenge you to think about the vital importance of the relationship that we have with God and how it carries over into every aspect of our lives and how it carries over, not just in the way that we treat God, but the way we treat the properties that belong to God. Because the more concerned we are about those things, I think the more concerned we are about our relationship with God. And so, you know, those are things that we need to be mindful of as well. But he said, wherefore God gave them up through uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And we know that he's talking here about homosexuality. And just think about this, not just in homosexuality, but we can look at abortion. We can look at body mutilation. There's all kinds of things that would fall into that category there. But just think about God created us to worship him. God created us to serve him. He created male for female and female for male. God, Bible says, and Brother Philip had shared this the other night in church Sunday evening, but God created them male and female. The Bible says that God said it was not good that Adam should be alone, so he created for him a helpmeet, which was Eve. And then Adam said, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman. And then we read that Adam knew his wife. She conceived and bore a son. See, that's the only way that that happens. And God made that so that we could do these things. When we dishonor our own bodies between ourselves, we're using our bodies for that which God did not intend. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Excuse me. Oh. Yeah. I was going the right direction. Let me read to you this here. And I hope I'm right. In verse 15 it says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall then I then take the members and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that that which is joined unto a harlot is one body? For the two, saith the Lord, shall be one flesh. Now listen to that carefully. Jesus, God said that for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. It said here again, you know, so what you're joining yourself to, you know, that's what you're making your body a member of. He said, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, which ye are, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, that's what God created us for, was to glorify him, to worship him. And they've tried to turn that into something else. And I'm just here to tell you tonight, church, when God created me, He made no mistake in creating me a man. When He made my wife, He made no mistake in creating her a woman. And each and every one of us, when we are born, God makes no mistakes in what He creates us as. In this world, this is part of the confusion that's going on in the world. This is part of the things I'll just say it this way. These are things that are causing depravity to go deeper and deeper into the hearts of men and women, but also into the hearts and minds of our children. And we've got to stop that by returning to the Lord, returning to His Word. And we are still here today strictly by the grace of God in His mercy there. If we will be honest with ourselves, we will understand that. And I was going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, but I won't. I'll get back into this. And this says, "For this cause," in verse 26 of Romans chapter 1, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, man with man, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignities, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient unto parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful." Now just think about all these things that I just listed off here. Is that not the mindset of people today? And I was listening to a gentleman the other day talking about how that the Constitution was written in such a way that if the people no longer liked what the government was doing because the government had went too far, that the Constitution gave the right to the people to disassemble that government and replace it with one that was supposed to be there originally. In other words, we have the right to stop that one and go in there and put a government in place that is, by the way, supposed to be of the people, by the people, for the people. It's supposed to work for us, not against us. But I told my wife, I said, the sad part of the reality is government is passing vicious, malicious laws contrary to God. And so many people today love that it would be hard to do anything in order to stop it. So while we are at this point in our lives, we understand this, that it's getting worse and worse. And the Bible says that it will wax worse and worse. It's not going to improve as long as man's heart is not where it needs to be with God. But I will say this, while we are still here, there is still hope. And that's the key. Not giving up on the hope that is there because of who God is and because of His love for us, because, excuse me, of His mercy and His grace. In verse 32, it says, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." What a sad state of affairs that they were in then, right? Well, what a sad state of affairs that we are in now. Because that's exactly what's going on even yet today. It's not changed. It's just grown to be worse. They will use God for everything but what God was intended to be, which is Lord and Master of our lives. Think about how happy and how blessed we would be if we followed God. If this country was truly surrendered unto the Lord, could you imagine the magnitude of the blessings that God would be able to bestow upon us? And when I say that, I'm talking about being fruitful in the Lord and in peace. It just would blows my mind when I think about where would we be today if instead of getting worse, we had gotten better. Think about the times in which we've really seen the hand of God move and what He done and how He blessed and brought us out of stuff and how He, just looking through the scriptures and seeing what He done there with Israel. Could you imagine what it would be like today if instead of getting worse, we got better? Instead of going away from God, we went to God. Instead of getting away from His Word, we embraced His Word. We made His Word law, and we did so in not in a manner to be destructive, but rather in a manner to be instructive, which would cause instruction to be put in the hearts and minds of our children and our grandchildren, and to continue to improve in the relationship that we have with God. Could you just imagine if it was reversed of what it is? And I'll tell you the truth, it's a hard for us to do that because of what we know today. But here's the truth. Because we know these things are going on, a lot of people are disheartened. A lot of people are sad. Some people have given up. Some people think there's no hope. And the truth of the matter is, as long as there's breath in your body and there's breath in my body, there's still hope, because our hope is not in the things of this life, but our hope is in Christ Jesus. Our hope is in His Word and His will. And we get a little bit into that in just a second here. But He says this, "Therefore, thou art an excusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou judgest, for thou that judgest dost the same things." In other words, if we're out there sinning and living a lie, and we judge somebody else who's out there sinning and living a lie, then we're unexcusable. We're doing the same thing, and we're judging ourselves. Remember the old saying is, right, don't do as I do as I say. Well, that's hypocrisy, the Bible says. And if you're doing what's wrong, even if you're saying, don't do what I do what I say, and you're trying to instruct and right, you're living hypocrisy. You're living just exactly the way the Bible says that you would be living. And you're judging somebody, and you're condemning yourself for doing the same thing. But verse 2 says, "But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things." I'm glad that I'll stand before a righteous, holy, and truthful God. And when I stand there, though, I need to be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I need to have confessed my sins, repented of my sins, standing before God with Christ as my salvation, as my defender, you would say, my intercessor. I've got to have that. And in order to do that, I cannot be living a lie today. I must be living the truth that is in Christ Jesus, and realizing today it's more important that we strive harder instead of less. And then verse 3 says, "And think of thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and dost the same, that God, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God." We're not, none of us, going to escape God's judgment. And I think there's a lot of people who out there who think that they will, but we're not going to escape the judgment of God. The Bible says that we shall all give an account of our deeds, whether they are good or evil. We will all stand before God. And in that, the difference between me and the person who's lost, when I stand there having followed God, my sins covered by the Son of God, by His blood, knowing that I am born again in Christ Jesus, that's the difference there between somebody who's never accepted, or even who's denied God, who denies that Christ has even come, denied that God even exists. And they'll stand before God and they'll give that account. In verse 4 he says, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and the forbearance of His longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." And that's where I wanted to get at in this. Think about this. Or despisest thou? Are we despising the riches and the goodness of God? Are we despising the forbearance and the longsuffering of God? I mean, are we really looking at today as a time that it was wasted? In actuality, the reason we are still here today, as bad as it is because God still has folks to be saved. God still has folks to reach out to and change their lives, because He knows that they're going to. He's just waiting for them to do it. And I believe too that God is answering prayer. See, a lot of folks say, "Even so, come now, Lord Jesus," because they want out of this life and they want to get it everything over with. But the truth of the matter is if you know somebody who's lost, if you've got a loved one who's lost, you got a family member, a friend who's lost, or if you know somebody who knows somebody who's lost, and we all know somebody who knows somebody's lost, because we all know lost people. Instead of saying, "Even so, come quickly," calling things to an end, we ought to be calling on God to reach down one more time this side of eternity and touch that life, touch that heart, convict that soul, and give them that next opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior before they cross into eternity and it's too late. Church, it's the same for you and me. We ought not be despising this time, but rather embracing this time to pray, to read, to worship, and to reach. Pray what God would have us to do. Read His Word so we find that instruction. worship Him for who He is and what He's done. Just think about it. I want my family, every last one of them, I want them saved and on their way to heaven. The aspect of somebody dying and going to hell because I wanted to hurry up and get out of this life, that doesn't sit very well with me. If God wants to remove me, let Him, that's His choice. He can do that. But if I'm here, then I need to be seeking God, praising God, worshiping God, honoring God, glorifying God, following God, and trying to get everybody around me to do the same. So take time to realize that God's riches, His goodness, His mercy, His forbearance, His long-suffering are all about leading us to Him and also leading others to Him. Because that's what it says. "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and the forbearance and long-suffering, knowing not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" You and I are where we are tonight because God desires for us to be saved. And when I say we are where we are, in other words, if we are still alive and you're lost, God's desire is that you would be saved. If you're alive and you're saved, God's desire is that you will worship Him and lead others to Him. Doing our part to make sure that others know who Jesus is why we're here. And while we're here, let's do our part. That's real simple, right? So just wanted to share these things with you tonight. We're living in a depraved world because they've refused God. And when we ask ourselves, why are we still here? Well, there's somebody out there who needs you to pray for them. There's somebody out there who needs you to tell them about Jesus. There's somebody out there that God is wanting to work in their life. And so we're still here because God's not done. And so, folks, I just say tonight with all my heart, use the time that you have here wisely for the Lord. I say that to myself, that we may bring others to Him and show them His glory, His power, His love, His mercy, and just be a blessing for the Lord Jesus Christ one to another. We'll go to the Lord in prayer tonight and we'll be dismissed. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your love, Your mercy and grace. Thank You, Father, for Your word. And I ask You, dear God, help me, Father, to do the things that I need to do to be the person that I need to be for Thy name's sake. Lord, I pray for those round about us. I pray, dear God, that we would be a light for You to those, dear God, that we come in contact with, Lord. Father, help us to be not brash, but help us to not be bashful, Lord. Father, to be willing to stand for You, dear God, and if others, when they open those doors, not be afraid to say, "Well, I do what I do for You. I do what I do for the Lord. He's changed my life, and so everything that I've got is His." Lord, tonight we just praise You for Your blessings. We praise You for Your love. And dear God, we pray, Lord, help us that we might teach somebody and win somebody, Lord, to You. Father, the world is waxing worse. But You're still on the throne, You're still in control, and You're still in the saving business. So tonight, Father, help us to remember that and be about that. and we will give you glory for it, Father, in Jesus' holy, holy name, and amen. Amen. Remember, pray one for another, and catch us online. Our next appointed time on Sunday morning, if Lord tarries, we'll be back with you. God bless you. We love you.